Hello, 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 drama listeners. Welcome. This is Connor. I just want to pop in really quick before we get into this week's amazing episode with Kiara Aurelia, who is currently starring in John Proctor's The Villain on Broadway, was recently seen in Deliria, and has TV and film credits that you wouldn't believe. You're going to love her. Okay, so before that chat, I just wanted to pop in and say hi and tell you that in addition to these weekly Wednesday episodes, we also have a bonus content platform called Patreon on Patreon called Drama Plus. At Drama Plus, you get bonus episodes of the podcast where Dylan and I chit-chat about all things theater, pop culture, love, and life. And in addition to getting access to those extra episodes, you also get added to our Instagram close friends. So it's $5 a month to become a member of Drama Plus. And we so thank you for the support of the podcast. We love, love, love you, just like you're going to love this episode. So enjoy this chat with Kiara and head over to patreon.com/thedramapodcast to become a member of the Drama Plus family. All right, enjoy the show.
Press play.
Curtain of an hour in.
It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea
to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet.
Did they book?
Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama.
Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell.
Dylan, how are you?
I'm so good. I'm loving summer.
It really has been such a great summer, mm-hmm. hasn't it?
Maybe the best one since pre-pandemic.
Really?
I feel that way. I do. I feel lighter. I feel happier. I feel like things are back to normal in many ways.
Wow.
Life feels stable for
okay,
me.
Okay, let's celebrate that.
Yeah. Obviously, like with wedding planning, that is like very stressful for me.
You but, are
like,
a bride to be in a way.
I am. I'm blushing as well. Yeah.
I know. Well, listen, I'm feeling dramatic about something and this kind of just happened in the last 24 hours, but I just need to bring it up to you as, you know, someone who works in social media.
Both of us.
Well, yes.
Family business.
Family business. What do you think about Instagram adding this location service where it's like find my friends, but you can turn it on for all of your Instagram friends?
I don't like it. I mean, I think that Instagram started out just pictures, right? Then they added the stories. And I remember thinking to myself, I will never post a story. But now it's like, I post more on stories than I ever would normally.
No, legit.
And then now there's this, they're also allowing you to repost now. I don't know if you saw that.
I did, but it didn't show up.
It's a separate like feed on your page, but it will show up on the main feed otherwise. Oh, I just feel like they're taking all of the elements of other apps and it's becoming this mono app of like, we're Snapchat, we're Twitter, we're Instagram, we're, you know, next thing you know, people will be writing Facebook statuses. Well, I guess the notes app.
With notes.
Yeah.
I know. I feel so conflicted. I'm especially weirded out by the location services part. That makes me feel weird.
Well, I mean, the only thing that makes me feel weird about it is that people might be able to see it. A lot of apps already do ask for your location.
Yeah.
Like Uber Eats.
And Snapchat too.
That's true. Yeah.
Anyway, I know. I'm kind of freaked out. I'm not going to turn it on yet. I'll see what happens.
As people who, as you mentioned, work in social media, I'm sure it'll be an ever-developing thing.
Like, absolutely.
We'll see. Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's cool that you can share it with your close friends, but that could be like, if you're a gay guy, that's like 1,000 people.
Well, and your close friends. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Enough about that.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for today's guest.
Me too.
Especially because, you know, talking about summer, I feel like I'm always looking for like a summer show to binge. And we both just binged the show that she starred in, mm-hmm. Cruel Summer.
Oh, yes.
And I know she's here to obviously promote her illustrious theatrical career.
Yes. She's a theater girly now.
Absolutely. Yeah. I know you're dying to talk about Cruel Summer too.
I just finished it this morning. I was literally.
Oh my God.
Yes, I know. Obsessed. But let's bring her in. Let's talk to her about all these things.
Much to discuss.
Our guest today is currently making her Broadway debut as Shelby Holcomb in John Proctor is the Villain. This new play by Kimberly Bellflower has been heralded as one of the best plays of the season, nominated for 7 Tony Awards, and just received the distinguished Las Culturistas Culture Award for We Could Go See Boop Award for Best Thing to See. Our guest has made a name for herself from a very young age as a talented and compelling actress, perhaps best known for her Critics' Choice Award nominated starring role in Cruel Summer, as well as in television shows Tell Me Lies and Hysteria. On film, she's appeared in Luckiest Girl Alive, Fear Street Part 2, 1978, Backroads, Gerald's Game, as well as many short films and projects. Earlier this summer, the star made her off-Broadway debut in Delaria, opposite friend of the pod, Christopher Briney, and future friend of the pod, I'm manifesting it, Ella Stiller. She's already made a name for herself as a fearless actress and truly one to watch. You can see her running for the green light on Broadway through September 7th only. Please welcome to drama, Yara Aurelia.
Hi, guys.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Oh my God. We're so happy to. Now I need to know, have you turned your Instagram location on yet? Have you seen that feature?
I didn't even know that was a thing. I was listening to you guys talk about it. I was like, what? What are they saying? Like, I need to go check in. I'm like, clearly not up to date on all things Instagram, but what is it?
It's probably for the best.
Is it like find my friends on Instagram now?
Yeah.
I shan't. I won't, I can't, and I will not.
The sad part is mine would just always be at home. So it's like, oh, no.
No, it's like too much of everybody knowing everything, you know?
I know.
Some things are better left kept quiet, right?
Period. I completely agree. I know there's no mystery left in life, is there?
No, I don't want everyone to know where I am all the time. then they'll realize that I'm not as fun as I pretend to be.
Right. Exactly. That's how it goes. Well, Kiara, we are, like we mentioned, so excited to chat with you. Literally, I feel like I've been spending like the whole week with you having watched Cruel Summer.
Amazing. Yes. Not Cruel Summer, guys. You made it to the end.
The end. Oh, I couldn't help. The last shot.
I shouldn't say anything. I mean, it's been out forever. If someone hasn't watched it at this point, then they can just kick it. No, I'm kidding.
We kind of have like a thing about like spoiler alerts. If it's been out for a while, I feel like there's like
it's been years. Come on, you guys had your chance. No,
I know.
Whatever happens at the end, it's crazy, and it definitely affects the way you guys perceive me now. So,
oh my God, I feel like we're diving into Cruel Summer here. But when the show wrapped, did you do much press or talk about the ending at all publicly?
Not at all. I mean, I don't really think anyone knew. It was like, it was a big secret on set at the time. I found out maybe like halfway through the season. I can't remember. It was so long ago. Just a baby. I really was. I was really young. And like, it was these kind of like two extra pages that weren't in like the distributed script. And it was like, something crazy is going to happen at the end. But no, we didn't talk about it until like way after it came out. It also was such like a fun twist. Like, I didn't really tell people in my life either. I think it was like, really, it made the show really worth getting to the end. And I honestly, I'm of the opinion that like the ending to me is everything to do with a show and a movie. The way that it ends like affects the way that I perceive the entire thing. So I think we really ended that one very strong. So I'm pretty happy about it.
Absolutely strong. Completely I mean, it agree. Was a really incredibly paced, well thought out and written series in general. Congrats on it.
Thank you.
All that. And your performance was beyond. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
How old were you when you were in Cruel Summer?
I got cast in that when I think I was like 16 or just turned 17. And we did the pilot and then we came back. And I think at that point I was 18.
Okay.
And we did
wow.
the series because COVID had happened, like the beginning of COVID had happened. We were shooting like in very early days COVID. So it was like before any, you know, before there was any protection, like we were just kind of like trying to stay away from everyone that lived and wearing masks and all the things.
It certainly didn't feel like a COVID era project. Do you know what I mean?
Funny enough, it like so was. We were like one of the first shows to go back after COVID. It was like really scary, but also really fun. We had a really good time.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the way things end, I mean, the ending of the play that you're currently in on Broadway, John Proctor is the villain, is one of my favorite endings. I left like literally shaking and crying, just overwhelmed. I want to get all into that. I do have one more Cruel Summer question, though, if you don't mind.
Give it to me.
Did you film it episodically or did you film it like 93, 94, 95?
I wish. Yeah. No, we shot it episodically. There was days where it would be like, okay, in the morning, Kiara's 93 and then it's 95 and then we go back to 93 and then we do 94 to wrap the day. I think a 3 time period day was unusual because it was like a lot of just time to change things. But like, pretty much every day we were switching between at least 2 years, sometimes 3. So it was a lot.
Wow. And you mentioned that you found out halfway through the season about the ending. Was it script to script situation or were you given sort of a heads up about where the character was going?
I would say that we probably had up to like, we were maybe like two episodes ahead of where we were most of the time or 3. So we had an idea of what was happening, but they were writing it as we went. Okay. So things were kind of constantly in flux and changing and you know, we all were having, we were had a lot of guesses and like a lot of assumptions about what had actually happened. But I mean, many of us like didn't figure out, like there were whole, you know, there's a lot of different stuff going on. Everybody has kind of their own stories. So we all knew like a little bit about where our characters were growing, but like not much about the show as a whole, which is why it was really fun to watch audiences kind of like guessing and really wondering where the show was leading, because we kind of had that same experience while we were shooting it.
Yeah. Wow, that's so interesting. So did you believe Jeanette from the start that she didn't see Kate?
Yeah. I don't know. I honestly, I can't remember. But like Jeanette Turner forever, Team Turner. We love
Hell yeah.
Olivia, but no, I mean, we like Jeanette was the underdog. Like everyone should have rooted for her. Like she was trying to find her place and figure out her thing. You know, I loved Jeanette. I think she was really complicated and just a really interesting character to play. And I think there were a lot of different sides of her. And I think that show could have gone like 100 different ways. I think it could have ended. There were like so many possibilities for what could have been the resolution to that. But I think it was they chose the most fun option. And I think, you know, it kind of left the audience wanting more, which I think is the best case scenario. So
Absolutely, absolutely.
definitely.
Like I said, your performance was just amazing. The way I felt so devastated and sympathetic for Jeanette, especially 1993, I was like, oh, this sweet girl. I remember being, a young teen and wanting
With
to,
braces.
with braces, of course, just wanting what she wanted to feel like the star, like she said,
Yeah,
and
totally. Who doesn't want to be the star?
of course. And then, and then we need to talk about the wig in 1995 too.
We can't talk about
Prison.
the wig.
Prison.
Unfortunately, I am unable. I have no comments about the wig at all whatsoever. All I'll tell you is that I didn't know. I didn't know what it looked like. And then I watched the show and I was like, oh, now I understand why everyone on set was calling me Justin Bieber for 6 months. Things are making a lot more sense now. But you know,
Oh
we
my
see
God.
her, we respect her, and we hope that she's in a box underneath someone's bed to never be brought out ever again under any
Literally.
circumstance.
Are you normally wigged in a lot of your projects?
It totally depends. Like I've done extensions, I've dyed my hair all shades of color, and I've done wigs. It kind of just depends, honestly. I'm not too precious with that kind of stuff. I think it's really awesome that you get the opportunity to look really different and play really different people and do really different stuff. And a part of that is that I don't always get to feel like I look like Kiara, but that's okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't really mind the changes.
Are you on Broadway wearing a wig?
No, 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 no. It's my hair. But it's my natural texture, which is fun. Like my hair dries really wavy, like not this kind of like pretty wave, like a little more like frizzy wave. And like we leave it really natural for that, which is cool. Usually it's like you're applying a lot of heat to your hair. So it's nice that I don't have to do that like 8 times a week.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll bet.
Okay, wait. So before we dive into John Proctor's The Villain, we do like to check in with all of our guests. I know we were doing a little cruel
We had
summer
to go off.
debrief.
Of
I'm so
course.
sorry.
I
Sorry.
totally understand.
But we're wondering, are you well?
Am I well? Yes, I'm so well.
You've had a pretty exciting summer.
Yeah, it's better than well. Like I'm doing great. It's been a really exciting time for me. So yeah, it's been awesome.
Oh, I love to hear that. What would you say has been one of the highlights that's contributed to this better than well
Better than
moment?
well. I mean, I'm like living the dream right now, honestly. I mean, I've dreamed of being on Broadway my whole life, and I get to go up and perform in front of people every night and do something live. And I feel like I'm learning as an actor and as a person. And just it's like a really big growth time for me, which I think is really exciting. So yeah, I'm just honestly privileged and I feel like really grateful to be here.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
Had you done a play before you'd done Delaria, or was that your first play ever?
No, not professionally, no. I mean, I did theater when I was a kid and like I realized how much I loved it, and it's kind of like what made me fall in love with acting in the first place, but I'd never done theater professionally before this.
Oh my
Oh,
God, what a
interesting.
whirlwind. And obviously
Yeah,
then,
it's a lot at once. It's exciting though.
Off Broadway debut, Broadway debut, all within the course of like, what, a month or so?
Yeah, literally 1 month. It's insane.
Wow. That's crazy. Okay, wait. So you said you did a play when you were young. We also like to ask our guests what got them into the arts. We call it Ring of Keys moment, borrowing from the musical Fun Home, when
Yeah.
that character has a moment of recognition. Do you feel like you had a moment of recognition where you were taking in the performing arts in some way and you were like, oh my God, wait, I got to do that?
This can be, I've said this so many times, so I feel bad repeating it, but it like really is The Wizard of Oz. Like The Wizard of Oz was the movie that I watched repeatedly growing up that was like, I want to do that. I want to be that. That is everything. It was just so magical. And you were like completely transported into a different world and into, Dorothy's story. And like everything about it felt so larger than life and exciting and literally colorful that I think that was the first movie for me that was like, there is nothing else that I want to do other than that.
Did you ever do Dorothy for Halloween?
Yes.
Of
More than
course.
once. Not
Yeah, of
gonna lie.
course.
It's happened a couple times. I was Dorothy for Halloween this year too. Well, the thing with Halloween that's happened that's like kind of unfortunate or exciting is that it's not one night of Halloween anymore. There's no
Right.
one costume. It's like seven costumes, or maybe not seven. That's an exaggeration. But like every weekend day, there's like your friends throwing a Halloween this or a Halloween that. So like for the month leading up to Halloween, you need to like have every character you've ever imagined in your life already prepared in your closet. And I happen to have some checkered clothing, so Dorothy is an easy one.
Oh my God. Wait, you're speaking to my soul there. Halloween, one of my favorite holidays, but stresses me out
Oh
so
my
much for
God.
that
I
reason.
feel like I already need to be planning. Like
We
we've
do.
just started August and like I don't have it figured out yet. I'm like a month and a half away from my first Halloween party. Like we need to get this together quickly.
I bet we're going to see a lot of outfits that are your finale of John
Oh yeah.
Proctor this
That's
year for
a great
sure.
costume. Maybe I'll take it. That's a good one. I'll ask if I can
Yeah.
borrow the petticoat for some Halloween activities. Yes.
Wait, so you love Wizard of Oz. Are you a Wicked gal?
I love Wicked, not the same way that I love Wizard of Oz, but only because I never got to see it when I was a kid.
Okay.
So I don't have like quite the same connection to it that some people did. Like I came to New York, I was really obsessed with Hamilton. So I came to New
Oh.
York and I saw Hamilton and I saw like many other shows, but I didn't see Wicked until I was a bit older. It's fabulous. Love it. Love the movie. But Wizard of Oz was really like, and The Wiz as well. I love that movie too. That movie's amazing. Both of them.
Well, there's something to be said about that art that you consume when you're impressionable and, really
Yeah.
putting yourself on it. And so I totally feel that with Wizard of Oz. Wait, have you seen it? They're showing it at the Sphere in Las Vegas.
Oh my God. I just heard about this the other day. I was like, I will fly across the country in order to watch this.
Yeah.
The fact that they were like able to expand it in that way, I'm sure it's like the most insane experience.
I hope it's just as exciting as it was when people saw the original and the colors come on screen for the first time.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I think it's gonna be awesome. I have a sneaky suspicion. I can't wait to see it.
So, Kiara, are you a singer?
Defined singer. I can sing, maybe not as well as like the girls in Wicked, but I'm able.
I
Yeah.
was curious, like, if you were in any musicals when you were growing up at all.
I did this show called Hysteria that came out last year,
Yeah.
and I'm in a heavy metal band, and I'm the lead singer of a heavy metal band. So I did sing in that, but I think that's the only time that I've ever been asked to sing professionally. I think there's a difference between like I can sing, but I can sing as an actor can sing. I'm not quite a singer, if that makes sense.
We talked to Chris Briney recently about singing, and he said that, he can sing like, on the show that he's in or
Yeah.
whatever, but it's not necessarily people would pay to see him in concert type thing.
Yes, exactly. I think he described it perfectly. I don't know. I think Chris could perform in front of an audience and sing, and it would be great. I believe in him.
Okay, wait, we need to get into Delaria, which I got to
Yeah.
see before you left. So, oh my God.
Amazing.
Wait, that play kind of rocked me. The dialogue was so sharp and biting and
Yes.
shocking.
Yeah. It is all of those things for sure. Julia Randle is a really, really smart playwright, and I think she did such a wonderful job of kind of like capturing the way that like our generation speaks and the way that we talk to each other. And obviously it's kind of in like a larger than life, more like broad universe than full on reality. That being said, it's like almost scary how many parallels there are and how many things are like not too far from something that we've experienced. So,
Absolutely, absolutely.
yeah.
How did you get involved with that project?
I mean, it kind of came up out of nowhere. They like originally had two girls cast, and one of the girls dropped out, and then the other girl dropped out, and it happened like really quickly. And they had a very tight turnaround, like 5 days, I think, before they were starting rehearsals, and they were looking for replacements. And I'd actually taken a meeting for Delaria, like auditioning for Delaria. And it like didn't quite, I loved the play, but it like didn't quite work. Like there was just something about me that like quite, it didn't feel like it totally clicked. And at the time I was like, oh, I wish that Georgia was available because there had been another girl that was cast. And like in the span of the weekend, she dropped out and they called me and they were like, "Do you want to play Georgia?" It's like, of course I want to play Georgia. I love Georgia. So yeah, so I ended up working on it. And Ella is like the most brilliant DeLorean ever. And I can't imagine anyone on the planet playing that other than her. So it worked out really, really well.
Yeah, I know you two were great together. Such good chemistry.
We love each other. I gotta be honest, we're really good friends. So it definitely doesn't hurt. It's kind of nice when you're working with someone and you're like, oh, wait, I actually just really like you as a person too. So not that that's a requirement, but it's a really nice plus.
It helps, I'm sure. You know,
Yeah.
having done primarily film and television, and then Delaria, and then now John Proctor being, you know, a live experience, what has it been like processing audience feedback versus like, you know, when something's coming out either episodically or streaming
Yeah.
versus in the moment or after the show?
It's really different. I mean, I think one thing that I've like learned really quickly is that your perception of the performance isn't always the same as the audience perception. I mean, there's some nights that I come out and I'm like, that was my least favorite show that we've done. I really didn't feel like I was in it. And like the audience response is so big that night and people really, really connected to it. And the opposite too, where I'm like, wow, that was my best show ever. And like no one says anything, you know? So it kind of, it's definitely in flux, but it's a really awesome experience. I mean, you're getting to interact with like an 800 person audience a night at John Proctor, which is just huge and scary and exciting. And I think every night's a little bit different. And that's what makes it really fun. I had this fear before going into theater that like it would become boring or that like the repetition of it over time, not boring, but I just mean like doing the same show 100 days in a row. Like, how do you find the joy in it? How do you still love your character? How do you still connect to the material? But you realize that it's always different and it's always exciting. And like that really, that issue doesn't exist in the same way that you would think it would. Yeah.
Yeah, I also think that the two theater pieces you've been in this summer really do elicit responses from the audience in a way.
Totally. Delore was interesting because it's not for everybody, and that's okay. And I think that like different audiences felt really differently about it. And that was part of Julia's intention. She was like, I don't want everyone to like it. That's not why I wrote this. I want it to like the people that love it and get it are gonna love it and get it. And then there's some audiences that it's not, you know, quite written towards. So there would be nights and like for matinee shows where, you know, it was kind of like the audience was really taking it in a different way. And then there were nights where people were laughing so hard, it like was powering us through the show. So each experience was completely different, honestly.
That's so cool. Now, okay, it's time to talk John Proctor as the villain. One of my favorite plays, I mean, of the year, but maybe ever. It truly is so phenomenal. And I'm so excited for you to be able to play this role.
Yeah.
As I was doing research, getting ready to chat with you, I just like searched your name on Twitter. And someone had tweeted screenshots of your stories when you went to see the show in March. They were
Yeah.
like, oh my God, Kiara's going to support Sadie. This is so cool. Flash forward to 2, 3 months later,
Yeah.
you're replacing her in the
Yeah.
play.
It's
Oh my
weird.
God.
It's really weird. Very small world. I remember going to watch it and being like, oh, I want to do something like this so bad. And I remember walking around backstage afterwards, which is really funny because Sadie and I grew up together. So I've known her for a really long time. And I was like going back to like say congratulations after the show. And I remember like running into some of the other castmates in the hallway and being like, congratulations, you guys did such an amazing job. And I'm now working with all of those people. So it's really weird. You can't really see things, you know. Hindsight is 20/20. Is that what people say? I'm like trying to think of the
Yeah.
lingo. Like you look back and it makes so much sense. But at the time, you know, I never could have dreamed that it would work out this way. So it's kind of crazy.
Was Shelby the role that you were like, oh yeah, that's the one I want to play? Or was there a different character that you were drawn
Shelby is me. We are
to?
one. No, I really, really, really connect to Shelby. I don't know if I knew that like the first time I read it. I don't think it was as clear to me as it's become working on it. I think Danya has incredible vision. The fact that she knew that Shelby was the right role for me, I think was, I couldn't have even known that. I think she's just a really smart, you know, creator and director. And I think she knows actors really well. And she's able to like read things, which is one of her skills and why these companies are so strong and all these actors are so good at their roles. But now that I'm like embodying her and like saying her lines, like it feels so true to my personality a little bit. She kind of like rambles and she says the wrong things sometimes. And I feel like those are all things that I can relate to, but like with so much heart and like really good intentions. Yeah, I love her. I think she's really cool. She's a really cool character. And I loved her when I saw Sadie play her. I mean, you know, she's just very enthralling and fun and great.
Yeah, one of my favorite things about Shelby is that she enters a little bit later into the story after
Yeah.
we've maybe heard about her and our perspective is based on what the other girls and the teacher are speaking about. And then the way that Shelby kind of enters is such an exciting moment.
I mean, it's preconceived notion. I think that's what's really interesting about the show. And you see a lot of times where like the audience, you can tell that they like don't really like her when she enters. And for the first couple scenes, they're like, you know, they have this idea of who this character is based off of everything they've heard throughout the play. And that's why when, you know, the shocks happen and the moments that really change the way you see this person are so extreme. And I think it's a really fun journey for the audience to go on.
Oh, absolutely. And that last scene, I know I touched upon it earlier, but it's, I don't want to give any spoilers away. I think that it's so good if people just go into the show, you know. Unlike Cruel Summer, there is a spoiler alert for John Proctor's. It's currently happening. But that ending is so beautiful and just it made me immediately want to read it or go see it again. And so congrats to you.
You
It
have to
is
come back and watch it again.
I know, I need to, I need to. And only through September 7th, which I'm like, oh my God, this needs to run forever. However,
I agree.
I love that then other theaters will get to do this show now, high
Yeah, totally.
schools and community
Yeah.
theaters.
There's a lot of girls outside of the stage door every night that are like, I played Shelby in my high school production of John Proctor. And I'm like, Shelby's, we are one.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Because it was out for a few years. There were a few regional productions. Okay,
So
that's
there's
right.
been some regional productions. There's been some productions at colleges. I'm not like totally familiar with how many or where, but some girls will be like, I did Shelby or I did Beth or I did Raylan and Ivy or Nell, whoever, and that they were really connecting to the story and how cool it is to see another actor, play that part. It's awesome.
That's
Is
great.
there a favorite scene that you are really enjoying this week? I would say that it kind of changes every night. I'm like digging 13 right now, which is like the gas station scene, but I also feel like now that I've said that, it will become my least favorite scene as of this evening. It changes. Sometimes that you dread different parts that you feel like are really hard. Some nights the end is like my favorite thing on the planet, and there's nothing I want to do more than that. And then sometimes I'm really tired and I'm like, please let me do anything other than this. So, it's a little bit of a mix of all of it. But the whole play is awesome and I love doing it every night.
Oh, that's so awesome. When you were going into the show, did you work with Danya on your rehearsal process, or was there an associate that you were?
Yes. I was working with Danya and Autumn, her wonderful associate director, and Kimberly was able to come in for a little bit too. And I was flooded with all the information I could be given. And then they kind of were like, and go see what happens. I'm like, oh, okay. It's kind of like you're diving headfirst into the ocean. But so far we're all swimming and it's all good.
Did you just have one put in?
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's how they do it, I guess. But like, that is like.
All my friends were like, can we come up for your first night? We want to celebrate you. I'm like, no, no, please give me like 2 weeks to situate myself and then you can come. I had some friends come anyways, but
Course.
they don't listen to me.
Yeah.
That being said, it's scary and it was scary, but also like really, really, really exciting.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a hot show this summer. I feel like everybody is, and it's also a smaller theater, so there's not a ton of tickets. Have any exciting celebs come to see the show?
Oh, yeah. So we had Andrew Lloyd Webber the other night, which was crazy. My jaw was on the floor. I was like, hi. He's awesome. And he had really nice things to say about the show. Yeah. You see people all the time, and there's people who come who like didn't come backstage, and you see like walking around. You're like, what? There's a couple really cool ones. I don't know if it's Linda Cardellini or Linda Cardinelli. I never pronounce it
I think
correctly. I
Leany. I
don't
think
know.
Leany. I think Leany.
I love her. And I saw her outside the other night in a pink hat. And I wanted to be like, I love you. But then I was like, maybe that's awkward.
Yeah, no, she
And
would
I'm
love
going
it.
to just keep to myself. I think she'd seen the show. And I was like, oh my God.
Oh my God, I
I was
love
like,
her
I grew up
moment.
watching you. You're so
Oh yeah,
cool.
she's so iconic, whether it's Scooby-Doo or Dead to Me or
Freaks and
Freaks and
Geeks, are
Geeks.
you joking? Like, hello. This is as OG as it gets. Huge fan. Linda Cardellini, if you see this.
So wait, Andrew Lloyd Webber, did you see Sunset Boulevard?
Oh my God, of course.
Were you
Oh my
obsessed?
God, of course. Yes, it's fabulous. It's fabulous. I'm so sad it's closed now. I mean, people love, 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 love that show, and it was
Yes.
awesome. And Nicole's great. And I saw it with Tom as well. It was really great.
Oh, so good.
Oh
I can't
yeah.
wait for Evita.
I know. It'll be great. He can do no wrong.
The music is just beyond. So, wait, you went to the city when you were young to see Hamilton, and now it's celebrating 10 years on Broadway. Crazy. How old were you when you saw Hamilton for
Or
the first
did
time?
you even see it when you came on
Yeah,
the tour?
I saw it
Yeah.
with the original cast actually, but it was like on like a 6 month convincing plan with my mom. Like I caught on to it, I think, a little bit before everyone else. Like I really, really loved it. I mean, probably everybody else knew about it too, and I just didn't realize, but I thought I was so special. Like I learned the whole thing from front to back, and I was like, Mom, you do not understand. This is everything, and I have to see it, and they're all leaving, and this is really important. And she was like, no. And then, because at the time it was like the hardest ticket on the planet. And I was like, Mom, you don't understand. Like, I will die if I don't get to see this with the original cast. I'm just gonna die. And then we did. We came out here and we saw it. I was on summer break and it was like a couple months before the cast was leaving. And it was like the best experience ever. I have a picture of me and Lin-Manuel, and my face is, it says it all. It's honestly like concerning. I look like my eyeballs are gonna like pop out of my head.
So you won't be resharing it, to your story.
No, I saw a video of a little boy and his mom. He like had a similar experience with Hamilton. It was recently though, and they posted a video online. I started crying. I sent it to my mom because it reminded me so much of me. And he was like 7 or 8 years old, and like his family, I think he didn't believe his family could like afford to buy tickets, so they were walking him by the theater just to look at it. And then they surprise him outside and they're like, we're taking you in, like we got tickets to see Hamilton. And he's just crying and like hugging his parents. And I sent it to my mom and I was like, Mom, like this, like it was so moving to me because it just reminded me so much of being that age and like how big and exciting all of these things are. And to think now that maybe there's some people who feel that way about John Proctor, it's just honestly such a dream.
Oh, that you literally give me chills
I
just
know,
hearing
me
that story
too.
right now. That's
Yeah.
shout out to your mom too for
No, it's
encouraging
the
you
best
to
thing
share.
ever. Like, and it's a memory like I'll never forget for my whole life. And not everyone has the privilege or the opportunity to do that. So the fact that we were able to, and that was something we could swing, is just like such a gift. And it's changed, my perspective on theater, and it, allowed me something to like dream for and like look towards. And I think if people are able to experience the stuff, and also like hopefully we can find better ways to make tickets more affordable so that more people can get the chance to see this stuff, and then also it goes on tour and more people get to experience it as well. So
Yeah, well, very, very well said. And I know that with John Proctor, there's like Rush and other ways too that people can definitely. Have you been able to? I mean, you've been in the show, what, like about a month now at this point? Or,
I'm on my fourth week right now.
oh my
Ooh.
gosh,
Yeah.
that's crazy. Have you seen some repeat showgoers?
Oh my God, yes. Of course, there was some we have a group chat, and someone texted the group chat. They said, someone just DM'd me on Instagram and said she just saw her 20th show. We're like, 20? It's like the best thing I've ever heard in my life. It's so
Oh,
awesome.
that's so
So
cool.
I think I'm pretty good with faces. It's hard to remember everyone, but there's definitely some people at the stage door who I'm like, oh my God, I've seen you. You've been here. Or they'd come and see Delaria, and we got to chat about that, which I think is really cool.
That's so
You know, it made their
nice.
life
life that you remembered them too. Like they'll remember that forever. That's so
Of
cool.
course. I was one of them not that long ago, you
With
know?
Lynn.
Yeah. With Lynn, with other shows too. Like I totally would be that person. It's always funny when, there's like young girls that come to see John Proctor and their mom's like, can I take a picture? And the girls are always like, Mom, stop. And I'm like, don't worry. My mom was literally standing behind me doing the same thing like maybe 6 months ago. Like, you're good. It's okay. You don't have to be embarrassed.
Wait, so did you go to, because you've been working since you were young. You mentioned you came on summer break. Did you go to like regular high school, middle school?
No, I did online school, but I still had to like, it's like a normal-ish program. I
Yeah.
went to like a bit of middle school, but then I switched online, and then I did like independent study. So I went once a week for like most of my high school experience.
I was going to ask because, like, obviously, the show is about high schoolers and the high school experience.
Yeah.
Were you around the same age in 2018 as Shelby? Oh, good question.
Yeah. I was exactly the same age. Well, I think I was 16. Did I turn 17? No, I turned 17 in
Okay.
2019, but I was 16 in 2018, and I was in high school. I mean, not like real
Yeah.
school, but I was like in high school age. But I also had like a pretty normal like high school experience. I was working a lot, but all my friends were in normal school. Like a lot of my friends weren't actors. Like I had like a very normal friend group, and like a lot of similar conversations and experiences.
I'm thinking about Greenlight, which is obviously this huge conversation piece in John Proctor and this Lord moment that occurred. Were you a Lord fan? Are you a Lord fan? Yeah.
Obviously. Yes, we love Lord.
I remember hearing an interview with Kimberly Bellflower saying there was never any other song. Like, it was always going to be Greenlight that was going to be at the end of John Proctor. What kind of music do you listen to in your life?
I listen to a lot of different music. I love music. It's like great connective tissue. It can like remind you of different times in your life and different experiences that you've had. So I'm listening to a lot of music that I was listening to when I was in high school. It's kind of connective for me. I've always loved Lord's music, like always going back to like Supercut and I mean, there's so many great ones.
I love Perfect Places on that album.
Oh yes.
This is amazing. So I have a whole, you know, a whole playlist of that music and some Taylor Swift and, you know, some different things that, you know, I grew up listening to in like Cigarette Daydreams and, you know, songs like that. And there's no like older music too, but it kind of depends on what I'm working on. I think my music is really influenced by like what time period we're in and like what's going on. But I've gotten to kind of like film in a lot of different, like we've done 70s, 80s, 90s to early 2000s and like into now it's like 2018. So it kind of affects like the mood you're setting. But I listen to everything. A friend once described my music taste as the theme song that you would listen to on a 70s sitcom. And I was like, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
He was like, so basically it's random and it makes no sense. I was like, okay, cool. Cool, thank you. And there's a lot of musicals in there too.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Are you into Lord's new album, Virgin?
Oh my God, of course.
I'm obsessed.
And O'Connor is always like, listening. Yeah.
Like every day.
No. Like we were all kind of talking about our favorites. I don't know what my favorite is. I like it all, honestly.
Yeah. Okay, wait, you mentioned this John Proctor group chat. Yes. So what are the gals talking about?
A lot of pictures of cats, you know, just random chats about random things, kind of cheering each other on. It's really sweet.
Awesome.
I was like, guys, I need to be added to the group chat. They were like, okay, we got this.
Did Sadie remain or do they make a new one?
It's a new one. It's JPITV2. Here we go again. Perfect. So yes, there's definitely an OG JPITV, but this is the new one.
And everyone loves a sequel.
Yes.
Wait, I'm thinking about how you're a true time period girly. Like you've done at least like the last 50 years, you've been in something of that, right? Like
70s. Maybe somewhere without an iPhone. Thank you.
Next up, you need to do like a Gilded Age, like Bridgerton era type thing.
I'm so down. I see it. I want it. Yeah, that sounds really great. I've not done anything like in like the, you know, 20s or 30s or 40s. I popped in around the 60s and I've hung out since then.
Yeah. That's so funny. Before we started recording, you mentioned that you moved to New York.
Yeah.
Was that to pursue theater? Is this like a shift you want to like stick in this lane now? Or?
A little bit of both of us to like why I moved here. I just love New York. It's awesome. I have a lot of friends here and I think it's nice to live somewhere that isn't where you grew up. And I spent a lot of time growing up in LA. So to kind of be somewhere else is something that I'm like really enjoying. And I just love this city. Like it always really spoke to me. I always felt really at home here. That being said, I also really wanted to do theater. So kind of being able to have the opportunity to do both has been really awesome.
I love it. Yeah. What are some of your acting inspirations? Do you have anyone that you really look up to or study their craft?
There's so many people like Julie Andrews. I love Julie Andrews. We were talking about like our dream guest to come to the show. I think I'd pass out if I met Julie Andrews. Like, you know how there's those people that you like grew up watching. It's such an interesting experience, like acting versus like being a human. And the fact that like you develop these like relationships with these characters that you watch growing up. And Julie Andrews was the person that I loved so much as a kid. And you know, there's actors you really like, but then there's those ones that are like your childhood pillars. Oh, I don't know what I'd do if I met Julie Andrews.
She's a true international treasure.
She is an icon. I mean, her, Viola Davis and Meryl Streep. I really, really, really love Morgan Freeman.
Oh, yeah.
Like, really, very much so. I've watched, like, pretty much everything he's ever done. Because he just is, like, he has such a soothing presence. When you watch his work, he's so, like, grounded and calm. always. And like, no matter what the character is that he's playing, you just are like, you're just so awesome. I would like to like give you a hug. You feel like you'd be like a positive presence in anyone's life. So I'm a big fan as well.
We just were watching. Was it Now You See
Me?
We just
watched
Now You See Me. Yeah.
Yeah. And even that, like, he's not a good character, but you're still like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, he's Morgan Freeman, he's awesome. He's really cool too, because he didn't start acting until when he was older in life. And, you know, I think it's really inspiring. There's a lot of people that don't feel like they have everything figured out. And I obviously started acting when I was really young. And like, it's easy to compare to people that started when they were like 10. But it's nice to know that, you know, there's some like grown-ups that decided they wanted to do this later in life and are so wonderful at it too.
Yeah, that is so, it's inspiring. It really is.
Yeah.
You know, mentioning that you've been doing this since you were very young, you have had such a wonderful career already. When you look back on the last several years, do you have any acting performances or projects that you're most proud of?
I don't think there's anything specifically that I'm most proud of. I think every experience is different. Luckiest Girl Alive was like a really special one for me because I developed really, really close relationships with a lot of people that I was working with. And it just came at like a really interesting time in my life when I was kind of like looking to do something exactly like that. And like Mila Kunis is such a wonderful actress, and getting to play the young version of her, like that was really exciting. And like, I'm still really close to a lot of the people I worked with on that. So I think that's really nice. And like, I met some of my best friends on that, but like Cruel Summer and Hysteria and all these other shows and movies, and now these two plays, like you learn something from every experience and you're kind of like able to move forward, and then you're kind of ready to do the next thing you're doing. So I think that they're all in there for a reason, which I think is part of the journey.
Absolutely. And I did love Luckiest Girl Alive. That was
amazing.
Mind blowing. So good.
I do love that movie. I really do.
Well, we are sadly reaching the end of our conversation, and we've gotten to know a little bit about some of your little pop culture tastes and whatnot, but we do like to end on a dose of drama where we'll all share something that's maybe on our mind, maybe a recommendation, a rant, a rave. I will go first.
Okay.
Just something that's been on my mind. I don't know. You probably haven't had the chance to go to the movies lately, Kiara.
No, I
just
haven't.
Just, you know, you're on stage every single night, sometimes twice a day. There is a trailer for a new horror movie that, and as a scream queen, I feel like we can say you're a scream queen at this point.
Give it to me. I'll take it.
Yeah. There is a new horror movie coming out starring Julia Garner called Weapons. I don't know if you've seen the trailer for it or heard anything about it. Oh my God. I lost two nights of sleep after watching this trailer. So if you're, I know Connor could never watch it. There's like a jump scare on the trailer that's scary that literally made me like, what's the plot? Like a classroom of students disappear one night, and then the next day the teacher is like kind of called into question of like, what happened? Where'd all these students go? But they catch what happened on the Ring cameras and stuff. It is like a really wild, not the Ring
cameras. Wait,
that
sounds so cool. I can't
wait to
see
cool.
it.
Yeah, it's gonna
I
be
like
cool.
Scary movies, so I will enjoy that.
You work in that area too, so I feel like you have to like have a comfortability with
totally.
Horror if not.
Totally.
Wait, have any of your sets ever had anything weird happen on them?
Yeah. When we were doing Hysteria, we all had, pretty much all of the main cast had a black cat arrive at their door within a week of us starting the show. I had a black cat that literally was at my door when I got home at night, or lived in different places. And I literally tried to like move around this cat because it was like an outdoor cat. And I opened the door and the cat ran into my apartment and I couldn't get the cat out for like hours.
Kiara's
you know, because I didn't want to hurt the cat, but I also didn't know like what the cat's temperament was. If like I could like pick up the cat, I didn't want to like disrupt the cat's vibes. So, you know, I was kind of just like following it around with like a pillow, trying to like scooch it forward. Yeah.
That is crazy.
That's so
this happened to your other castmates as well?
All of them. Like, it was really weird. It was me, and I think Julie had a cat, MJ had a cat, Anna had a cat, like all at like within a week. It was really strange.
That is so crazy. I think you really freaked out. Even Cruel Summer was a little scary for me, I have to say.
Really? Okay, don't watch anything else I've ever done.
He's a baby. He's a huge baby.
What I'll say is, when it feels like it could really happen, that is what really scares me.
Yeah.
Like, a teen girl going missing, and spoiler alert, you know, everything that happens to her. So that like freaks me out. I'm watching it and I'm like, oh no.
Yeah, no, it's definitely scary. I've done a lot of things maybe we watch during the daytime.
Yeah. There you go. This is coming from Connor though. His favorite show of all time is Pretty Little Liars.
I love Pretty Little. I was in an episode of Pretty Little Liars.
Wait, that's right. Oh my God. Wait, were you a fan of PLL before you went on?
Oh my God. Yes. That was like the best day of my, it's funny. I was talking about this earlier, the fact that like goalposts move. Like I think at the time, that was like the best thing that could ever happen in my entire life was to have like one scene in Pretty Little Liars. It's like, you don't understand. I can live on happy forever now. This is iconic.
Absolutely
I had
iconic.
like literally one scene where I was like sassy to Ashley Benson.
Oh, well,
That's a fun
that's an
scene.
iconic scene then.
Yeah.
Did you
Yeah.
meet any of the other liars while you were on set?
No, I think I met Ashley and then Tyler.
Oh yeah. Oh my God,
Yeah.
yeah. Do you
Yeah.
remember who the director was of the episode?
I think Marlene directed it.
The thing is, Dylan is so right. PLL is my favorite show. I feel like it was so good. And that's what I liked about Cruel Summer as well, is it the way a network TV show is paced and storied out
Yeah.
is so much more digestible. Nowadays, you watch stuff on streaming, the episodes are like an hour long. It doesn't really seem like all that much is kind of happening. It feels like a movie broken up into like
Yeah.
five episodes sometimes. And you're like, ah. So watching Cruel Summer was a nostalgic experience for me because I was like, wait, this is, I'm not bored at all. This
Yeah.
is such a fun,
Really
you're along
juicy.
for the journey. It
Yeah.
unveils things throughout. The
Totally.
cast was so good. Like Sarah Drew from Grey's Anatomy. I'm like, wait,
Love. That was really
what's
exciting.
that?
That was an exciting moment too. I was like,
Oh.
the right our showrunner had worked on Grey's Anatomy before, and she was like, what would you say if I told you one of the women from Grey's Anatomy is gonna play your mom before Sarah was cast? And I was like, I would say that I'm gonna pass out. And I thought it was Sarah, and she's like the loveliest ever. So it was awesome.
Oh,
She's
that's
so
so
cute.
cute. Oh my God, and Froy too, which we love. We
We
love.
love Freud. He's
Oh my
amazing.
God, he's so cute. We had his boyfriend on Zane on last summer on the
Oh yeah,
podcast.
Zane's so sweet too. I love Freud. He's still a
Yeah.
really, he's a really dear friend of mine. He's the best ever.
Oh
Oh.
my God, I love
I love
that.
that you keep these strong relationships from all the projects that you're on.
Yeah.
It's that's really special.
You're kind of like growing up with these people. You're sharing an experience with them that only, they have experienced as well. So, you want to keep these people around. Obviously, we all like live in different places now and time goes by, but like we could all be in the same room together and it would be like nothing has ever changed. So it's really nice.
That's the best. That
That's
is
really
literally the
sweet.
best. Okay, wait, so I gave my dose of
Okay,
drama.
I mean, I guess my dose of drama will just be everybody, you have to go watch season one of Cruel Summer. I cannot get enough of it, and it's
Thanks.
incredible, and Kiara's insane. So anyway, Kiara, do you have a dose of drama to end this chat with?
Okay, I started watching Happy Gilmore 2 last night, and it was the funniest thing ever. And I'm obsessed with Adam Sandler, and he can do no wrong. So I think
Oh,
that
he's the
everyone
best.
should go rewatch a bunch of Adam Sandler movies.
Oh
That's
yeah.
such a good
Oh yeah.
one.
That is, I heard it is hilarious.
It's so funny. And it's I'm like I'm a hard sell. Like I didn't I love drama. Like I don't watch as much comedy, and I was dying, dying.
Oh my God. Well, that's all
Oh.
I need to hear. That's incredible.
Yeah, you gotta watch it.
I will. I
Absolutely
absolutely
will.
will. Well, thank you so much for doing this episode with us.
Of course. Thank you.
We absolutely love you. I feel like I've again spent the summer with you between Delaria and John Proctor. Like, I'm so happy for you having this theater girly moment, and I
Thank
can't wait to
you.
see you on a stage and on screen soon.
It's so nice to chat with you guys.
Oh, thank
Thank
you. Everybody's got
you.
to see you in John Proctor's The Villain through September 7th, and also follow you on Instagram. It's just your first and last name, right?
Yep.
Love it.
Awesome. Thank you. It was really
Awesome.
nice to meet you, Kiara.
Thank you guys so much. Have a good day.
We appreciate it. You
Thank
too.
you.
And while everyone is following Kiara, they got to follow us. We're at the Drama Podcast. I'm at Dylan McDowell. You're at Connor McDowell. And Connor, I will see you next time. Drama!
Drama.